Fáilte go Dearg, a podcast series examining and discussing the An Dream Dearg Acht an Uisce campaign and other community-led movements in our quest for Cearta Teanga agus Cearta Daoine. Glac páirt sa phlé. Take part in the discussion.
The Cali Frankish North of the Union. The Cali Edwards North of the Union. The Cali
Hello, Acardia, and you're very welcome back to the third podcast of our brand new series, Dearg. On this week's episode, we're being joined by Emer Na Chonra Chtaí. Emer is the campaigns officer with one of the most inspiring student-led campaigns here in the North. Cuirfeacht an Uisce, or Bilingual Signage Now, which has been organised by An Cumann Gaeilge at Queen's University Belfast. In this week's episode, Emer charts the development of the hugely successful and indeed ongoing campaign at Queen's for bilingual signs, and she speaks of the barriers that have consistently been placed in the way of any form of progress being made in the affirmation of rights for Irish speakers at Queen's. Seo thugaimh Emer Na Chonra Chtaí.
So the language has always been like a part of my life, as cringy as it sounds. I actually don't even think I realised that properly until later years. But I went to Bunscoan Sleibhigh and College to First Year. So I spent my whole education coming through Irish. And neither of my parents actually speak Irish, but all of my cousins do. So we all went to school together, all the cousins on both sides. And my uncles and stuff would have Irish. So it's always been about. But I don't think I actually realised this properly, like how significant it was until recent years. It was just a normal part of everyday life. Like you didn't realise that this was like something special. It was just something that you did naturally. I actually don't think I necessarily wanted to go to Queen's for any other reason than the fact that it was in Belfast. I was playing because of sport and other commitments, I didn't really want to leave Belfast, and I did actually contemplate going to Derry because I originally wanted to study Irish with law. So Queen's obviously don't offer it. So I debated it, but the only reason really that I went to Queen's was because it was in Belfast, and another girl in my alternative to history was history and Irish. So another girl in my class was studying history and Irish, and I was like, you know what, I'll just go with her. That was the only reason. It wasn't because I had any hopes or expectations of the university. It was literally the only choice I felt that I had. It was really strange at the start, because even in the classroom, you're in a class with loads of people who would have learnt Irish. So they learnt Irish through English. So obviously I learned Irish differently. Even in terms of grammar skills and stuff, I didn't actually know why I was doing stuff. I just knew it naturally, kind of. And I think loads of people that went to the Gael schools and all are like that. So even in terms of the education, it was really different. You felt a wee bit like third level education isn't actually prepared for students who have grew up through Irish. So that was one thing. And then I'm not sure if I actually knew much about the Cumann Gaeilge before I came here. I think I might have seen a picture from a sitting on Facebook. So I knew there was some sort of stuff going on, but I didn't know exactly. And if anything, when I first went to the Cumann Gaeilge meeting, I was surprised at how strong that society was. I didn't expect to have such a tight-knit Irish community here. But it actually does exist if you can find it. And I thought that was important, that it's only there if you actually can't find it. I was the first meeting, no one I knew was going, and I wasn't even going to go. I was like, I don't really want to go here. I don't really know anyone, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a random decision that I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go. But there's loads of people that wouldn't do that. They wouldn't want to go in a meeting full of people they don't know. They would feel like outsiders. So it was lucky enough I went to that first meeting and realised I did actually know a few people. So it's not really, it's not the university putting this forward. It's the students themselves. So you really have to look for it yourself. So I think bilingual signage was actually erected in Queen's in, I think it was 1987. The Students' Union. It would have been involved. In their policies, they would have had their titles and roles as Gaeilge They would have, you know, like had like their emails or whatever it was, their entire initiative was bilingual. And it wasn't until in the late 1997 that they took the decision to actually take down the signs. And I think it was actually Queen's came under scrutiny for discriminatory practice. And this was like, you know, Queen's weren't employing Catholics at the time. And they would have done other like symbolic stuff. Like I think the RUC might have played at their graduations, and like they would have played songs like God Save the Queen. And I think they actually had the flag above the university, the Union Jack. So they came under scrutiny for these kind of practices, and they were obviously had to scrap them. But then the university then used this as an opportunity to take down the signs. I think it was the Fair Employment Commission that deemed signs incompatible with a neutral working environment. So I think it was the SU started to come under pressure, and they decided to take down the signs. Now, this was pushed by the unionist community. You know, like you would have had like the likes of Education Minister Peter Weir coming out and saying that like the signs were the epitome of sectarianism and cultural imperialism. And I think Bob Cooper came out and said that they were a chill factor for Protestants in the university. But it wasn't just unionists who were opposed to them at the time. Like I said, the Students' Union agreed to take them down. The Alliance Party also agreed to take them down. The USI, the Union for Students in Ireland, they supported the decision. They all agreed to take them down. That's actually an important note, because all three of them groups now actually support bilingual signage and the erection of signage. But in terms of how the campaign then continued from that, legislation changed. So 1998, obviously the Good Friday Agreement, which was signed in 2001, you had your European Charter for Regional and Minority Languages, which promotes the usage of bilingualism, 2006, St Andrews Agreement, and so on. So there was a total different legislative context, and this discrimination towards language continued. Like in 2006, I think, and Cumann na Gaeilge had a social event, and they put posters around the university, Ask Gaeilge, and these were scrapped. They were told to take these down. In 2007, the year later, T.G. Kehar had a show on in, I think it was the Students' Union, and they had a banner up. And the banner was mostly in English, except for two words at the bottom, which were Fáilte Romhaibh, and they were then told to take this down. Now, it wasn't until the political climate started to change as well as, you know, the legislative, that students started to really, really recognise that this was really bad and they could do something about it. You know, well, saying that, I think obviously the students at the time realised this was bad, but I don't think they were empowered enough to know that they could actually do something about it. And it wasn't until Drom Jarry came about with their campaign, because I think it was your year, wasn't it? Liam Hines and stuff were at the first Drom Jarry meeting outside the DFC offices when Paul Given took down the LIFA funds. And then again, I think it was the La Jarry in 2017, where over 12,000 people attended, and of course in Cumann na Gaeilge were there. And it was in this context that they started to recognise that they could actually do something. You know, like if in Drom Jarry's doing this in the public, then why can't we do this in our university? And that's when they started to get really, really empowered. And, you know, like, it's mad. I think I was fifth year or something at the time, and I was at that Drom Jarry protest. And I remember the feeling. It was class, and you know, you just out shouting Ask Gaeilge with all your mates. It was amazing, and I don't think I actually realized how important or significant it was at the time. And you know, as you grow up, you start to be like, I'm so lucky I got that experience. But that's kind of how the Commons started moving towards their campaign and developing their campaign. When you start to realise that how the language has been minoritised and for political means, that the only solution to this is normalising the language and empowering Gaelgory. So I think bilingual signage is really, really important to kind of reverse this. and normalize the language on campus. You know, like, it's not scary, it's not offensive, and it and if it was normalized, it would really expose the reality and the sectarian nature behind people that actually make statements like this. So when after that protest, there was a follow-up letter wrote to the vice chancellor, you know, asking for bilingual signage and so on, and he got back and said that the Irish language was provocative, offensive and intimidatory. Now, I haven't learned from Andram Jarg's factus, and Cumann Gaela took the initiative to go to the media with this. So they put it everywhere. I think it got like hundreds of likes and thousands of views on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. So they really, really brought it, really, really sparked the campaign. It really brought it to life. And they had a massive protest after it. And you know, had all the media outlets there, TG Cahir, BBC and so on. So they really, really, really pushed Queens. They really, really exposed them. People were starting to go, what is happening here, Queens? After that, I think the Vice Chancellor had no choice but to come out and openly apologise. He agreed to meet the Cumann Gaela, but then again, and I think that's when he agreed to set up the working group. And Cumann Gaela said at the time that they came out angrier of that meeting than when they went in. Like, it was just total disrespect and disregard. He came out, I think, and he apologised to Micheál O'Manion as well and the Sinn Féin. But obviously, it didn't mean anything. It was more to see a face than an actual means of respecting or learning from what he had done. So he agreed to set up a working group that would work towards putting bilingual signs up. The working group had a 2-day consultation process, which Cumann Gaela attended, and realised that they hadn't even meant to change the policy whatsoever. So there was no mention of the Irish language, there was no mention of bilingual signage, and the MCM three words were changed to different three words with the same meaning. So on Cumann Gaela, we're obviously furious and really, really frustrated about this by this stage, and they went about campus trying to get signatories to send their own letter, you know, their own input to the consultation process was, we want change, you know, I can disinish, but we want bilingual signage. And they got over 1,000 signatures in them 2 days. And I think after that, they went and the protest outside the admin building where the chairperson was, the chairperson of the working group was. And they called him out, obviously, like, they weren't allowed to do it, so I think they got, like, in trouble for it. But they called him out and handed him the signatures, the 1,000 signatures that they got. And they then delayed the consultation process, saying that there was, like, something like there was no demand or there was no responses or something. They didn't get enough responses. So they delayed the consultation process for it. And then they delayed it so long until... I think it was by the stage I was at the university. So they literally had got no response. They didn't know what was happening. And they were just left in limbo. And this was part of the university's tactic, you know, delay, delay, delay. So, you know, because I think they understand that a student's life at the university is very short. So we only have 3 years. So they're trying to get rid of all these people, all these haters that were pushing for bilingual signage and exposing them everywhere. But I don't think they realise that, like, it doesn't stop. It just keeps getting stronger and stronger. You know, the public Gaelic, there's always going to be Irish speakers at Queen's. So I think they went and spoke to, like, Kieran Moore or something during that time. I don't know exactly who it was. Who then told them that they should get involved in the elections and whatever. But it wasn't actually about running Liam Haynes on, obviously, like, his character or whatever. I'm not saying he's, I don't really know him personally, but I'm not saying he's not a good character, but it was on that simple, them two simple words, no bilingual signage. So they ran their entire campaign on that. And apparently they hadn't a clue what they were doing. Like, they were running about the Holy Lands, shouting out a car, vote down Liam Haynes. So they got barred. They got barred for an hour or something. And I think it was like the last 2 days they really got their shit together. And I think Liam only lost by like 100 votes. So he was really, really, he was up there, like, and like that was so symbolic, you know, the amount of support there was for the Irish language. And I think even the opposition, like, shit themselves in the last days, you know, there was no talk of Irish language in the union before then. And whoever the winner was, I think, came out and wrote a statement, Ask Gaeilge. And then during the night that they were all the winners were announced, The all five winners came out and said they would support not only Irish language on campus, but they would support an Acht Gaeilge. So it changed the entire like fabric of the Students' Union as well and their outlook towards the Irish language. But then it was the year after that that they decided to run, I think it was Green, who was Students' Union president at the time, decided to run, try and run an officer if Acht Gaeilge. And I think it was actually rejected the first year, but it wasn't until the second year that they got it through. And in Cumann Gaeilge, I think it goes through council first. So in Cumann Gaeilge, all attended this meeting and a few of them got up and spoke really well on it. And it was passed after that. But whatever way the union works, it has to go through a referendum after council. So they ran about and ran about campus again, like headers. And got support. I think over 76% of the student population supported it in favour of it. And Aidan O'Beale, who was the Fagat Gaelic, went on to, I think he got the highest, broke the record for the highest ever votes for a part-time officer. And it was up there with like the president and all, it was Manus. And then Aveling, who came next, she's went and beat that record year after year. So it's mad, the support for Irish language on campus just keeps getting increasing and increasing. So I think in the summer of 2019 we had heard that there was a Senate meeting and there was no talk of bilingual signage. So in 2019 we then had the biggest protest yet, with all the different media, medias that are all politicians from all parties, well, most parties, so with loads and loads of support for it. And then I think they then got back, Queen's agreed to go back to work, and they came out with their new policy, their new equality, diversity and inclusion policy in 2020, which mentioned the Irish language twice, but it was really, really watery. Like it said something like, we will promote equality for minority languages, including Irish and Ulster Scots, but not limited to. So no change had really happened. And then COVID broke out. So obviously we didn't really want to be shouting about bilingual signage during a pandemic, but the test of this new policy came about when one of the students' union officers asked for Irish on their jumpers, you know, like their titles to be in Irish as well as English, and they were denied this by somewhere in management. And the same thing happened a year later, so this was this year, so that was 2 years in a row they tried to get Irish on their jumpers and this was denied. That's how we kind of kicked off our campaign again this year, was, you know, this has happened 2 years in a row. And I think people wanted us to keep quiet because, you know, like this was Students' Union business, but in our eyes, like this was Irish language rights being totally denied 2 years in a row. So we felt that we had no choice but to go to the media about this, and it really, really kicked off again. So the residential scheme came about during that COVID year. You know, we were sitting and we were thinking, you know, what can we do next? And like we were always, our campaign was always based on international standards and what every other uni had, you know, every other uni in Ireland and every other uni with minority languages. So we were looking to see what other unis offered. And of course, we knew our uni was coming down hard on bilingual signage. It was always going to be really, really hard to push that through. So, but we're always looking for other options. You know, how can we make this university bilingual? So we decided that, you know, a living scheme would be the way forward. So this began in early 2021. So we began discussing exploring the idea of a residential scheme on campus. But as we started looking at other universities and their language schemes, like other issues came to light. You know, this scheme became part of a wider scheme, Irish language sort of strategy. Like we realised that we don't have enough joint honour degrees with Irish. So other universities, like I wanted to study law in Irish, you can't do that here. Why? So it brought other issues to light, which we explored in the scheme. We went and got College to First and Gill College degree involved. They were all part of this process of talking about how can we make this university more welcoming and more attractive for Irish language students. You know, how can we give make our students feel welcome in third level education? So this talk of a residential scheme came about, and we put the proposal through to management. I think it was the start of September, and there was an internal meeting, what they deemed an internal meeting, between two members of the Jochen group and the VC and whoever else it was there. And they basically rejected the living scheme. They said that it would be a means of segregating and siloing students. Now we had this beautiful, beautiful, you know, like paper of all these lovely statistics. Like you couldn't reject it. It was really well done. You know, if anything, it was liberal enough for them. And so like we were going, they couldn't reject it. Like there's nothing even there, but they still did. This all came about the same time as the jumper scenario. So it gave us the perfect opportunity as Common Gillagh to get the campaign up and running again. So we went straight to the media, learning from past, like Liam Haynes and then Dram Jarg. We went straight to the media and it all exploded. And we had about 4 weeks there of just class campaigning, you know, so much excitement and so much energy about the university again and about the Irish community specifically. We then met with, so the Vice Chancellor basically had no choice but to then meet us, because like BBC were sharing it 1 week, RTE were sharing it the next week. So on. So it was just everywhere. It was pure embarrassing for them, you know, like we really, really got to them. So they agreed to meet us in regards to the language, the residential scheme and bilingual signage and the jumper situation. So when we went to them, they went to social media and said that it was an internal meeting and this didn't really happen. So this is how we knew they were starting to shit themselves. And when we went in, they were like, no, like, I don't understand. That's a total misunderstanding. This isn't what happened. So on. So by the stage, they were taking a 360 turn. Like, we were like, what's going on here? So we really, really had them. And now it seems that they're going to go ahead with the residential scheme. But bilingual signage, on the other hand, is something that is just, it's just too complex. Apparently, it's always going to be too complex. But it's a process, so we'll hopefully meet them again, and that campaign will continue. And the good thing about the living scheme is, as much as it hasn't been set in stone yet, it looks like it's going to happen, and that opens up a can of worms, you know, like 14 Gilgory living together in the future, year on year. Like, imagine what could happen if this is what we've been able to do so far. You know, the campaigns continue and we continue to get stronger, like as a society and so on. Yeah, so the scheme which Franik Aklas, like, she wouldn't have happened without her. Like, she was amazing. Like, it's freaky, you know, every 2 seconds. She was actually at one point being a melter. I was like, please stop going on about this scheme, I need a break. But she was constant work, doesn't stop. So it really wouldn't have happened without her. But in terms of, you know, the benefits of the scheme for the university is, first of all, it will help repair their image with their students. And then, again, hopefully it would attract more Irish language students. But part of the scheme as well, we talked about, you know, like you would say you were given a scholarship, you would have to go through an interview process to get into this scheme. And as part of the scheme, then you would have to give back to the Irish language community. So there would be a relationship there with Andryhead and the university. You know, you have to promote Irish on campus and you have to promote Irish in the wider community as well. So this was all about promoting and protecting the language, and it would make Queen's job easier, not to do much in regards to the language, but it would make our jobs easier too, in terms of, you know, promoting the language. People were actually being, you know, recognised, if they were given this proper role that was recognised, you know, not doing all this work on the side, on top of their degrees or whatever it is. I feel that so long as the university keep pushing back, students or wider society or whoever it is keep pushing back towards the Irish language, students are always going to be equipped, because they have no choice but to be equipped. You know, like, it's not like I was born to be like, you know, like I woke up one day and I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be in the Common Gaelic and I want to push Irish language from practice. It wasn't like God. It was like it happened unconsciously. You had no choice. You were just seeing these stuff gradually happen, you know, currying me yogurts or whatever it was, the Leafa Fund, and then coming to Queen's and your own university is literally like against you. So you have no choice. And I think the thing is about Queen's, you know, like, you're getting older and it's only the public Gaelic is small enough here, you know, like, whatever amount of people, and it's only a select amount of people that actually have the time and are willing to do the work for it. No one else is going to push language rights for you. You know, it's not like in college the first year where at least your teachers are there to speak for you, they're there to protect you. You know, there's people in your community that are going to speak out for you. But like at Queen's, it's us that are witnessing it firsthand, and you have no choice but to stand up for yourself. So long as there's discriminatory practice towards the language, like it will always be equipped. Literally, it is. It's just, it's as simple as na habra e jane. And I think I was really inspired by the years above me, because they just did it. You know, like I remember thinking they're haters, like I don't even know what they're like, what, how are they going about all this? And they just did stuff, like they didn't care whether it worked or it didn't. You know, whether like 20 people were showing up to their meetings or 3 people were showing up to their meetings, they did what they could. And that's the thing, you just get up and go and do it. Meet with someone, talk to someone. It could be 2 people. You don't need like 100 people to do something. You just need a message that you want to do it. And it's madness what you can do when you really want to and you're really driven. And I think I was really inspired by the year above me. You know, like I was a wee bit like young and quiet and whatever at the time. And they're only a year above me and they were like speaking a protest and all. And I was like, how are they doing this? Like I can do it. But I think you have to decide no one else is going to do it for you. If you want to do something, if you want to make change, you have to do it yourself. You can't sit and wait around, or it just won't happen.
The Irish speaking community in Queen's is actually, it's really diverse. Like first to second year, Linda Irvine was in my Irish class. And obviously she does a lot of work on the language in East Belfast, you know, so it doesn't actually belong to one community, it belongs to everyone. Stephen Carson, for example, he was a big part of the Common Gaelic for years. And again, he comes from a Protestant background. So it's not like it's limited to like one community specifically. And we'll have loads of people that are, you know, learning Irish, not just from Ireland even, but from all over. Our Irish classes are mostly attended by people from other places like America. We'll have Astrid there from Norway, who learned Irish when she first came here at the Common Gaelic classes and is now a fluent Irish speaker. So to say it belongs to one community or it's limited to one community is just not true. It belongs to everyone.